thank you. We're thankful for those who serve and labor here. We a lot of times say our volunteer staff, and we're so appreciative. 4 years next month. For us, I keep saying 3.5. It's closer to 4 than it is 3.5. We moved hearth and home and family, and we began praying, man, God give us folks to help. God give us folks, man, what a great church, what a great location, what a great need. And the folks who invited us to come, you know, this is a revitalization. We got all these people. We moved here, it was about 15, 16,000 cars a day when school went by. Last number I got was 21,000. Cindy and I say amen to that, by the way. I go by this place, you know, and school's in session. I mean, all these people, man, we need to reach Hardin Valley in West Knoxville for Jesus. And we began to pray, and Brother Glaspie was finishing up his schooling and said, man, I want to move out there. And I said, I can't pay you. And he said, I'll get a job. And I say, well, I don't know where you'd stay. I'll find an apartment. And I finally said, you know, I'll lock the church. He said, I'll break in. And he kept on going, teasing. But, man, January of last year, he moved here and has been with us now almost 18 full months. And we are glad. It does a lot during the week, does a lot that you never see. And he and Sister Rachel just do a fantastic job with our children's church and some other things. And we're just so appreciative. And he is an excellent young preacher. I say young, you're almost 30. That's younger to me anyway. You'll take young, won't you, Brother Glaspie? And we're glad. He's our preacher this morning. We appreciate him so much. He's going to come give God's word. So let me encourage you, get your Bible out. If you don't have it, pull it up on your phone or your tablet there. Share it with people that are around you. Ask God to speak to your heart and do something real in your life. Appreciate his good message. Many of you have already downloaded it, looked at it from last week, shared it online. Thank you for that. And we're recording it again this week as well. So God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Brother Glaspie, you come lead our hearts in worship with the word. Amen. Make him feel welcome. Brother Glaspie, you come preach to us more.
Oh, okay, there we go. For some reason, I was confused about on and off. I don't know why, but it is a pleasure to be able to share God's word with you here today. If you would take your Bibles, you turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. As I said, and I'll continue to say, it's actually been a great almost year and a half that I have been here serving alongside Hardin Valley Church. And yes, everything that Pastor said was true. He says, I can't pay you. I'll get a job. Gotta find you. I can't find you a place to stay. Find an apartment. I'll lock the door. I'll still break in. Haven't told him yet, but I did break in. But anyway. But it has been a joy being able to serve alongside Hardin Valley. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I get to share the word of God with you this morning. So if you're in Daniel chapter 6, if you remember my message from last week, I've been hitting truly upon faith. And for some reason, the Lord would not let me get away from that. Faith is so prominent, it is so pivotal for our walk. With the Lord. And so I want us to focus on that. I want us to talk about that again this morning. And we have here a perfect example of that. We have here a testimony of that. And I want to share that testimony with you this morning using one person. So if you're in the book of Daniel chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. The book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, for they could not find occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5, it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, was altered not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and make a supplication before his God. I look back at verse 4, and there's a group of words that talked about how Daniel was found faithful. They could find no occasion, no fault in him, for as much as he was faithful. So the title of my the title of my message today, being found faithful. Being found faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask for his blessing on the message. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that it is to come before you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the great singing and the great time of fellowship. And now, Father, we come together with one heart as one body to hear from you this morning, to hear your word. And Father, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross so that you and you alone may only receive the glory. And Father, I pray if there is one in here who needs to make a commitment unto you, whether it is that of salvation or that of faithfulness, Father, and whatsoever commitment they need to make, I pray that you will work in their hearts and their lives even now. That, Father, they will make things right with you. Father, we pray that in all things that we say and do, that we will lift and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever introduction, I talked about last week how faith is defined. That is a confidence and an expectation. It's exactly what the book of Hebrews says in verse 1. Exactly what it says in verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have a quote from an early church father, St. Augustine, that gives us a great and simple definition of faith. That faith is to believe what you do not see. And Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a great testimony of men and women who were found faithful. We think about Abraham. God told him, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to settle for you, that's going to make a great nation. I'm going to give you a great name, make you a great nation, give you a great people. And Abraham had no idea what he was going. He had no idea what he was in for. But yet he moved forward in faith. Jacob, when everything had happened with him, when he took the birthright from his brother, he left home. He ran away. He was a fugitive. He ran. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you sons to make you a great nation. And he moved forward in faith. A testimony of Abraham and Jacob. Moses, we talked about him last week. His parents, how they established their faith. They established that godly faith in him with their example. And how Moses moved forward in faith as leader of the Israelites. All these men, just a bit of the testimonies that are given in regards of faith. Among the men and the women who were found faithful, and one man that we're looking at today, here in the book of Daniel, of course, is Daniel. Now, for most of us, we know Daniel's story. He was taken from his home under the rule of King Darius, brought to a heathen land known as Babylon, where worship of God, worship of the true God, meant death. And it was a very hostile nation that Daniel was in. So the book of Daniel is actually divided into two parts. The first chapter I see as a personal biography, a personal testimony of Daniel's life. And the last chapters that are prophetic, but I want to focus on the first chapters as a personal biography. And if I were to pin words of this biography, it would be these. It was found in verse 4. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And so I wonder if we can answer that question. If we can answer that question, can we be found faithful? Can our lives be an example of that which is found faithful? I want us to look to that today, but I want us to ask a couple of questions. First and foremost, the prayer up on the screen. Number one, if you were to be put on trial for the accusation of being a Christian, would you be found guilty? Would you be found guilty? Yes, I identify with Christ. Yes, I am a member of Hardin Valley Church. Yes, I volunteer here. Would there be enough evidence where you would be charged for being a Christian? Would there be enough evidence? Some will say yes. I'm a member of Hardin Valley Church. I identify with Christ. Let me pitch you another question. Question number two. And I want us to think about these questions as we go through this message. If you were to be put on trial for the accusation of being a faithful Christian, would you be found guilty? If they were to accuse you of being found faithful, would there be enough evidence? Would there be enough there to convict you? Will they say, that's a man who we have found to be faithful? Or can they say, you know, I don't see enough evidence to conclude that. I don't see enough evidence in their life. Yes, they identify with Christ. Yes, they're a member of this church. Yes, they read their Bible. Yes, they pray. But I'm just not seeing the evidence. I'm just not finding the evidence. Would you be found guilty? Would you be found faithful? You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. He expects his people to be faithful. And yes, God's word gives us testimonies of several saints who were found faithful. Who were faithful in a few things, faithful in the least, faithful in the Lord, that were faithful ministers. And it all points to that day when he used to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's a statement that I want to say. True faith shows up in faithfulness. Not everyone can sing. Not everyone can preach. But all can be found faithful. You say, I can't serve as well as this person. I can't sing as well as this singer. I can't preach as well as this minister. There's one thing that each and every one of us can do as individuals, as Christians, as a body. All of us can be faithful. And as we look at this short passage, we can look at so much more. But there are three areas of Daniel's life that people such as us can say Daniel was faithful in. These areas that we're going to look at are major areas that God wants us to be faithful in. And as you think about those two questions that I presented to you, I want you to think about being found faithful. Here's the first point that I want to mention. Daniel was faithful in maintaining a life of prayer. Daniel was faithful in maintaining a life of prayer. We read in the first verses of chapter 6, that Darius set over the kingdom princes and princesses and presidents to be over the ruler, over the kingdom, and Daniel was one of them. So here's the one thing that we can conclude from the first few verses that we saw in chapter 6, that Daniel was a busy man. Daniel was a busy man. I think that's something that each and every one of us can relate to. Daniel was a very busy man. He was governor. He was a third ruler over a nation. He went from Hebrew boy to governor to third ruler, one of the three highest ranks in Babylon. He was set over the prince, the presidents, the princes, and the governors. So he was responsible for an entire nation. He was responsible for that of an entire nation. So Daniel, we could say, was a very busy man. He was a very busy man. That's something we can relate to. We each have our schedules. We each have our schedules, whether it's a teenager in school, whether it's an adult who is in a workplace and taking care of a family. Each of us are busy. So we can relate to Daniel in this as saying, you know, we're busy too. We're busy as well. We can understand this. But here's a statement that someone made that I believe defines Daniel's faithfulness in his prayer life. That Daniel would rather spend the night with the lions than to miss a day in prayer. We read in verse 6 that there was a law to be set. A law to be set about making a petition to God. And anyone who made a petition of God would be thrown into the lion's den. And even when the law was set in notion, Daniel changed nothing about his prayer life. He remained faithful in maintaining a life of prayer. He prayed in secret. He came to a place where it was just him and God. It was just him and God. And that should be some place to which we may resort to, where no ear will hear us but his ear, and no eye can see us but his eye. Jesus makes that known in Matthew chapter 6. To pray in secret. He also prayed looking towards God. He also prayed looking towards God. He was looking towards Jerusalem, the holy city by which God was at, where he resided at. And he prayed on his knees, a show of humility, a show of reverence, and a show of submission. But here's the great testimony. In his busyness, in being a ruler over a nation, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He prayed 3 times a day. So here's the testimony that we can get from his life. Daniel started his day with God. He spent time again with God. And he ended his day with God. He was faithful in maintaining a life of prayer, even in his busy schedule. Even in the hectic schedule of ruling over a nation, Daniel was found faithful in prayer, in a faithful prayer life. I ask you, can we say that? We say we relate to Daniel in the busy schedule that he has. Are we faithful in our prayer life? Do we find time to spend time with the Lord? I read this verse and I read that testimony of Daniel, and I'm convicted every single time. He was able in his busy schedule to pray 3 times a day, to come to God 3 times a day. He was faithful in maintaining a life of prayer. Also, he was faithful in maintaining a life of purity. He was faithful in maintaining a life of purity. Now, this started way before we get here to chapter 6. I want us to turn back to chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. Chapter 1 of the book of Daniel in verse 8. Another pivotal testimony in the life of David. The book of Daniel, chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says of Daniel. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof that they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave them names, which he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And verse 8 is the pivotal testimony of Daniel's life. We say he was faithful, maintaining a life of purity. Verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was found without fault or without error. He was found faultless in the eyes of the king, meaning without fault, free from blemish, free from imperfection. Not only was he faultless in his politics, as a ruler, as a president, in the king's eyes, he was found faultless in God's sight. And it started here. It started here in verse 8 of chapter 1, where the Bible tells us that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Defile, it takes the meaning of polluted, unclean, stain. You see, the king had appointed a daily portion for the children that had been brought in. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. Daniel was going to remain pure. And verse 8 was Daniel's commitment. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would remain pure. He was faithful in maintaining this life of purity. It was his personal testimony. And I have a quote about commitment from Jonathan Edwards. If I were to sum up one word in regards of how David maintained a life of purity, it was that of commitment. Daniel committed not only to being faithful in prayer, but he committed to being faithful and being pure and living pure. And a quote from Jonathan Edwards, a well-known evangelist, says to follow God, says resolved to follow God with all my heart. And then let me amplify it. Resolved also, whether others do or not, I will. You see, these other children, they partook in the king's meat. They partook in the king's wine. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would remain pure. He made that commitment. And he stuck to it. He stuck to it. Whether others did or not, whether others followed him or not, Daniel purposed in his heart, regardless whether I'm walking alone or whether I'm walking with others, I'm going to stay committed and being pure and being faithful and maintaining a life of purity. He was faithful in that. Are we? We think about the morality that is around our nation. Think about the morality even here in Tennessee, in our own county. Everywhere you turn, immorality. Are we faithful? Are we committed? Are we resolved to maintaining a life of purity? Are we faithful in that? You see, Daniel was. He was faithful in maintaining a life of purity. And then the last point, he was faithful in maintaining a life of purity. He was faithful in maintaining a life of prayer. But Daniel was also faithful in maintaining a life of purpose. Refer you to verse 8 again in chapter 1. Daniel purposed in his heart. Here's what the word purpose means according to Webster. It is that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished, the end or the aim to which the view is directed in any planned measure or exhortation or exertion. We believe the supreme being created intelligent beings for some benevolent or glorious purpose? And if so, how glorious and benevolent must be his purpose in the plan of redemption? I'd said it before. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would maintain a life of prayer, a faithful life of prayer. In his busy schedule, praying 3 times a day. I'd say that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would maintain a life of purity. He made that commitment in here in chapter 1. That he would maintain a life of purity. But Daniel also purposed in his heart that he would maintain a life of purpose. What was that purpose? You see, the end or the aim of this purpose was to bring Babylon to redemption. Remember where Daniel was. He was in a very heathenistic nation. They had made laws that outlawed God. That said, if you pray to God, if you pray to him, then he will throw you in the lion's den. But this was God's plan for redemption. This was the end or the aim for a faithful life of purpose. And Daniel was faithful to live this purpose. And I believe that God tells us that the lives that we live all have a purpose. Let me attest to you today. Let me attest to you today that you are not an accident. You are not an accident. You may ask the question, why am I here? You may have asked that question before. What is my purpose? God has a purpose for each and every one of you. He has a purpose. If you are a believer today, if you're a Christian, you have a purpose to bring others to redemption, to bring others to Jesus Christ. You are a vessel being used by our Master. And I believe God tells us that the lives that we live all have a purpose. And it's a purpose of redemption. And Daniel was faithful to live this life of purpose. Are we? Are we faithful to live this life of purpose? You see, Daniel, through all of this, we can see why he was found faithful in such a hostile nation. We can see how he was found faithful in prayer, in purity, in purpose, because he committed in his heart from the beginning. Daniel committed in his heart from the beginning, always faithful, forever faithful. I want to share with you one more story and I'll be done. One of the most tragic events during the Ronald Reagan presidency was the Sunday morning bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, in which hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. Many can still recall the terrible scenes as the day's survivors worked to dig out their trapped brothers from beneath the rubble. A few days later, Marine Corps Commander Paul Kelly, visited some of the wounded soldiers in a Frankfurt, Germany hospital. Among those soldiers was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton, who was severely wounded in the incident. And Nashton has so many tubes going in and through his body, running in and out of his body, that one witness said that he looked more like a machine than a man. But yet he survived. And as Kelly neared him, Nashton, struggling to move and racked with pain, motioned for a piece of pen and paper. And he wrote a brief note and passed it to the commander. And on a slip of paper were but 2 words. Semper Fi, which is the Latin motto of the Marines, meaning forever faithful. And with those 2 simple words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who sacrificed body and limb and their lives for their country, those who have remained faithful, those who have been found faithful. We think of that motto, Semper Fi, always faithful, forever faithful. I'd asked the question before, if you were put on trial for the accusation of being a faithful Christian, would you be found guilty? Can I ask you this morning, is this the motto of your life? Can you be found forever faithful? Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light our way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives that we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Let me ask you this morning, does God find you faithful? Are you faithful? You say, I don't even know where to begin. Let me ask you this morning, if you are not saved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where you need to begin at. You need to put your faith in Him. You need to take a spiritual assessment of your life and say, am I in Christ or not? If you are a Christian here today, that question that I asked earlier applies to you. If you're being on trial for being a faithful Christian, would you be found guilty? Would you be found faithful? I pray that you look over this. I pray that you take that assessment in your life. And I encourage you, may you be found faithful. With every head bowed and every eye closed. As you come to our invitation time, I pray that the Lord has spoken to you. I pray that you're thinking about those questions. You may say, Brother Brandon, I can't even begin to be faithful because I haven't put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that you make that decision today. We have helpers here that can show you how to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there were those of us who are Christians today. Can we be found faithful? If we were put on trial for being a faithful Christian, would we be found guilty? Would there be enough evidence? For Daniel, it took one word, and that was commitment. And maybe today, you can confess, you can admit, you know, I haven't been as faithful as I need to be. You can make that commitment today. Heavenly Father, I pray